Today, I'd like to direct your attention to a phrase in Matthew 6:9. This is one of the most familiar paragraphs in all of the New Testament. This is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. In verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6, the Lord teaches us to pray. And after the address, the first petition is, "Hallowed be thy name." Now, for most of us, we pray that because that is a familiar prayer, and we often do it in public. But I think sometimes we don't think about what we are praying for. What does it mean to be hallowed? Well, it means to be made holy. And being made holy means being absolutely separated from all that is evil, all that would defile. Being separated to God Himself, who is the pinnacle of holiness, absolutely pure. Now, theoretically, we understand all this. Practically, this prayer is oftentimes merely rattled off. Hallowed be thy name. One more petition out of a group. And there is no thought as to what that petition actually means. It's a dangerous thing to fall into the trap of parroting phrases that you do not intend when you are talking to God. First, He knows that you are not serious about it. And second, you would be shocked if He answered. So this is a petition that should be a very deliberate one, part of the prayer life of every believer, because it's a petition for God to make us what we ought to be. There's no contest about that. We all know that God is holy, absolutely separate from all that is evil. We understand that. And we know from what the Bible teaches that that is His goal for every one of us. And we also know that we haven't made it yet. Now, that petition is a very important one. To hallow is to set apart for God. It is to remove that person from all that defiles and stains. It is to join that person to the very being of God, that we might be holy as He is holy, for He is absolutely holy. There can never be a stain upon Him. And we are aware that we are deeply stained, that we need His forgiveness, the cleansing power of the blood of Christ to make us what we ought to be. But here we are praying, "Hallowed be thy name." The name, what does that stand for? Well, it stands for the person. You bear a name, and it's not just a word. It's something that designates you. You have that name. And when someone hears that, they think of you. And so, holy be God. He is the one who is infinitely holy. We know that. But when we pray to Him, we must be aware that we are praying to a being who is infinitely holy, who is vastly above our sinful condition in this realm. And we're reaching upward out of the defilement of our present realm, reaching toward Him and recognizing His absolute holiness. Hallowed be thy name, thy person, thy being. And we're praying that God would indeed be recognized as a holy God, absolutely pure, absolutely without stain. And at that same moment, we recognize we are not in that condition. We stand in desperate need of improvement. And He is the only one that can give us that improvement. We can't arrange it just by sheer willpower. We can't arrange it by gritting our teeth and saying, I'll do better. It doesn't work. We need divine grace, the presence of the Spirit of God, molding us, shaping us, making us what we should be. It's a lifelong task for every one of us. We are still all like the potter's vessel in His hands, and He is shaping, maneuvering the clay, making it what He intends it to be. And He intends us to be holy. There is absolutely no question about that. And we don't necessarily like the process. He's rubbing all the time. He's changing our shape. He's making us into something different. And He's using providence and circumstances and people and sometimes evil people to change us into what we should be. And we can recognize what He is doing. We don't always understand. But we pray in that Lord's Prayer, Hallowed be Thy name. May His person be totally separate from evil, totally holy and pure, without stain, because He's our standard. He is the one that we're going to be like, and nothing else will do. And so we're praying that His name, His person, be hallowed, made perfectly holy, because that's His plan for us. And we pray that He will accomplish that plan by His grace. Now think for a few minutes. In the Old Testament, the Lord blessed and hallowed the seventh day. Exodus chapter 20. Why did He do that? Well, He did that because that was a day on which He asked His people to worship Him. And that is, of course, why we are gathered together here. We are not legalists. We are not here to fulfill the law. We are here to worship Him. But that was what the law was designed to cause people to do. And so we are here in fulfillment of the old law, not because of it, but because we love Him. And we recognize how great He is and how He should be honored and revered and worshiped and called holy, which is His true nature. And so we are here, not as legalists, but as worshipers in a new dispensation. Our hearts have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The stains have been washed off because of Him. And we can stand in the presence of a holy God and praise Him and worship Him because of Christ. We couldn't stand there. We couldn't worship. The worship wouldn't be acceptable without Christ. And that reminds us that all over this world, there are people standing in liberal churches, in sectarian, heretical gatherings, who think they are worshiping God, some of them repeating this very prayer. They've never been saved. They're not washed in the blood. They're unholy. And they have no idea that they're in that condition. It's hard when you talk to a religious person who goes to church every Sunday, who does everything he thinks he should be doing, and he's lost. He has no idea about Jesus as a Savior. And he has no idea about being washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's hard. In the Old Testament, the Lord hallowed the temple. 1 Kings 9:3. It was a place where the Israelites could gather and offer sacrifice and sing praises. And the whole book of Psalms is the remnant of that worship, singing the praises of Jehovah God. And in our hearts, we still use the Psalter for that, to read those blessed hymns of praise and apply them to our nature. Because we too need to celebrate the holiness of God. Gifts that were given to the Lord in the Old Testament times were hallowed. That's Exodus 28:38. Set apart for God, they were given to Him. They weren't to be used for profane purposes. They were holy, set apart. We still give gifts to God. We still give presents to Him on occasion. The most important present that we can give Him is our own heart, our own life, our being. Because this He can take and transform into something that brings Him glory and that accomplishes His eternal purposes. A wonderful thing. But there are still believers who are hesitant about that. They're holding back a little bit. Well, I want to do this and I want to do that and so on. I want to worship God too, you know. Everything has to be put in the right order. And for every believer who's come to the Lord Jesus and has been washed in the blood of the Lamb, the first order is to hallow God in his life, to put God in supreme position, to regard him as holy, absolutely pure, and therefore worthy of our humble service, our praise, all that we are. The high priest in the Old Testament wore a turban, and there was a plate on the front of that turban which said, "Holiness to the Lord." That was why he was high priest. He was to direct his people in the holy worship of the one true holy God. And so it was an appropriate thing to have on that turban. But now the fulfillment of all that is the face of the believer today, where upon the forehead of every born-again saint is that same message, holiness to the Lord. That's why we're here. If God had no purpose for you like that, you would be in heaven. But you're here. Why? Because you're a living example of someone who is holy, dedicated to God. And his holiness means everything to you. Your life is hallowed to God. If there were no such purpose for you, you wouldn't be here. In Leviticus 22:32, God's name was hallowed, set apart, made holy. In that petition that we cited, Matthew 6:9, hallowed be thy name. That's a prayer that God's person would be manifested as holy in our lives, in our daily activities, that our testimony would be that we are set apart for God. And so, yes, what you're doing does just that. For all of us, we have left our home this Sunday morning. we've gone off to church, and all the neighbors around us know that's exactly where we've gone. And every Sunday, we go that same way. And they're getting a message. Here's a person who is very serious about God. They actually go to church every Sunday. Now, they may never say anything to you about that, but they've picked up a testimony. You are a person who is devoted to God. You are holy to God. And your neighbors are watching all that. Now, the other end of that is a very convicting one. Any time that you act in a mean, narrow-minded way toward them, they're quick to say, well, all Christians are like that. Pious in church, but unkind to people. They put the worst construction possible on what we do. Well, you say, that's not fair. Well, the world doesn't play the game fair. They expect you to be perfect. And they know very well they're not. But that doesn't bother them. What bothers them is you aren't perfect enough. Well, that ought to bother us too. There's room for improvement. We'll confess that. But in the meantime, we are hallowed. We are set apart for God. We are His representatives in this wicked world. And everybody's watching. The wicked are watching to see if we'll just stumble and fall and prove ourselves as miserable as they are. They're hoping for that. But by the grace of God, we can be a testimony to them of being a loving, caring person who is not stained, who is not wallowing in the impiety of the wicked world. But we're pilgrims. We're going through it. It's a path we have to follow. The goal is God. And He is absolutely holy, absolutely perfect. And we're pressing in that direction. We haven't made it yet, but that's our intention. We're traveling. We're making progress. And they're watching. In Psalm 22:3, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Now there's a beautiful thought for us. Ascribing to God holiness. And ascribing at the same time the fact that God dwells in the midst of the praises of His people. Now that's a very encouraging passage. When we gather together to sing God's praises, to worship Him in public, God is present. He is there listening. He is pleased. It's wonderful to be able to do something that would please God. So much we do, I'm sure, does not please Him. But to have the chance to gather together, to sing His praises, to testify to His greatness and goodness, yes, the Holy God is present. He is listening. He reads the heart of every born-again saint. He knows that we would do even more if we could. For most of us, we can't sing the way others can. The choir sings so beautifully. For most of us, we wouldn't want to join that and croak and ruin their beautiful sound. But we can enjoy what they're doing and recognize their celebration of the holiness of God. And our presence here is a testimony to all that we take God very seriously. We come to a place of worship. We sing His praises. We celebrate Him as a holy God. And we have a standard of conduct, righteousness, holiness. We may falter in our practice, but the standard is still there. And we know God never fails. God's standard never changes. We haven't yet come to that perfect state, But we're pressing onward. We're striving for it. We're praying that He may enable us to do better. And holiness, complete separation to the nature of God, is the goal for every one of us. He is absolutely holy. That is what He intends for every one of us. And we're on the pilgrim pathway. We're struggling, and it's slippery, and there are stones to stumble over, and people jeering at the sidelines. Yes, all that is true. But it's a path that leads to the presence of God. God, who is most holy, and by His grace, He intends to share that holiness with His people. The Lord Jesus came to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, a city where the great temple was built, a city where the people were prepared to sing the praises of Jehovah. And by and large, they had no idea who Jehovah was. And Jehovah came to them, riding upon a little donkey. And the people, some of them at any rate, recognized who was there and sang out the praises of this person who was the Savior, the perfectly holy Lamb of God. The disciples understood, but they couldn't understand what was going to happen. The Lord Jesus was the holy sacrifice, absolutely pure, who was going to die for unholy people. And He came with that purpose, no other reason. He came to sacrifice Himself, a holy sacrifice for an unholy people, to transform them into His holiness, to make them what they should be. And this is the project of the Holy Spirit of God right now. For every one of us, He is in our hearts, if we are born again, molding, shaping, rubbing, sanding off parts of our character. And that's not pleasant. It's hard to go through. But He's doing it. And His purpose is absolute holiness, a perfect agreement with our Lord and Savior, the Holy Lamb of God. Friends, we would like life to be easier. We would like to see circumstances go along more smoothly. But life is hard. Circumstances are often hard to endure. And God knows that. They're there because it's part of His sandpaper. He's shaping, He's rubbing, He's working on every one of us. And it's painful. We wish somehow it wouldn't be that way. But it is, and it will continue to be until He sees His image in us and we go home. Friends, we hallow His name in song, in praises, and in a life that is given to Him. A life that manifests His loving kindness, His holy purity, His perfection. And we are poor images. But our testimony is useful. It causes people to think, why is that Christian like that? Why does he go to church the way he does? Why does he read the Bible the way he does? And they don't know why. but you've caused them to think that they need something that they don't have. And you have found that something. It is a person who is with you as a holy presence, changing you, molding you, sandpapering away on your character. It hurts. But he is not going to stop until the image is a perfect replica of himself. It won't be arrived at in this world, but that is his goal, and he shall attain it for every saint. Hallowed be thy name. Yes, hallowed be thy people. May thy grace change me into something holy, set apart for God, prepared as a vessel in the hands of the Almighty Savior. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this quiet moment, will you in your heart put yourself anew into the hands of your Savior and ask him to keep sanding away, keep rubbing, keep perfecting, so that his purpose may be accomplished and our lives may be holy vessels that he can use to the blessing of others, the salvation of souls, and the honor and glory of his name. O Lord, we thank thee for thy patience, working over us, molding us, shaping us, making us what we ought to be. We thank thee for that infinite patience, and we pray for grace. Help us that we may respond to thy work, that we may become what we ought to be, that our lives may reflect thy great dedication to thy Father's love. We pray that our lives may honor thee and may suggest to others a life devoted to thee because of thy great love, thy great kindness, and yes, thy great holiness. Help us, Lord, that we may be good representatives of thee in a wicked and perverse generation. May our lives shine for thee. For Jesus' sake. Amen.